are not ready for prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name.
Prime time.
Prime time.
What time is it? Showtime prime time.
It's XL prime time.
It is super scintillating sensational.
Featuring Joe C.
You gotta get to the next, man.
Hacker.
It's not reality.
Matt Hayes.
Kind of see you as a guy who's very emotional.
And Leon Searcy.
Vast majority of my entertainment has to do with sports.
How you like me now?
Come on. It's on. It happens tonight. The 2021 NFL season will be underway with Dallas and Tampa Bay. Cannot wait. It's a Thursday, the beginning of my weekend as far as I'm concerned. So as we kick off the NFL season, this is I'm just so jacked up about everything that's coming between tonight and the Jaguars going 1-0 when they head to Houston on Sunday. So we're going to make our predictions today. We're going to predict all the division champions, wild card teams, who's making it to the championship games or who's playing for the Super Bowl and who the eventual winner is. So we got lots and lots to do. We also have South Florida's Jeff Scott coming up in just a little bit as we'll talk a little college football as the Gators get ready to take on their South Florida opponent Saturday down in Tampa. You'll be able to hear it right here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. But I'm just going to start it out, fellas. This is a great day because the NFL season's about to begin.
It's been 214 days since the Super Bowl was played, 214 days since Tampa Bay chased Patrick Mahomes all over the field, and Tampa Bay won the Lombardi Trophy in front of about 25,000 people at Raymond James Stadium, and they're in the same exact venue tonight as that Super Bowl. Now they're going to be playing in front of 75,000. It'll be the first packed NFL stadium that we've seen in, almost 21 months or so. That, to me, you talk about the pageantry of college football, the fans being back in college football and how we noticed that difference last week. I think the NFL is going to be very similar. The NFL was played by and largely on last year in empty stadiums. If there was anybody in the stadium, like here in Jacksonville, it was like 15% capacity or 20% capacity. You're going to have a full house as they unveil a banner tonight down in Tampa. And then you're going to have Dak Prescott making his return with Dallas, going up against 44-year-old Tom Brady and the defending world champion Buccaneers. It's outstanding. I actually think the game's going to be a rout. I think Tampa's going to destroy them. But for what it symbolizes, the fans being back and the NFL being back, it's going to be a great night.
Well, the most disappointing thing about 2020 last year was the fact there was no fans. And I think the players have a more of a fondness and appreciation for fans now that it's going to be full capacity, because I can tell you this right now, when you walk into a stadium, you've got 80,000 people, that energy, whether it be good or bad, whether I was on the road or at home in Jacksonville, you run on that field with all those fans and all that energy, I mean, you're jacked. I mean, this being the Thursday night game, you know, first game of NFL football to start the season, you got that banner, you got Tampa Bay, you got the Buccaneers against America's team. I mean, can it get any better than that?
What more could you ask for? To me, the interesting part about this is step one for the Bucs, because they were just kind of a group of players that were kind of getting to know each other this time last year. You kind of thought they had the ability to do something. You were interested to see what was going on with Tom Brady. They lost five games during the regular season. They end up getting hot in the playoffs. They win the Super Bowl. Now they're the hunted. Now everybody knows about them. Now you're hearing, you know, can Tom Brady break Peyton Manning's single-season touchdowns record, which is unthinkable. A guy that age, 55 touchdown passes. But now I think it's unique. Now you've got people chasing them. Now they are the hunted. And it's going to be interesting to see how they react to that.
Well, content is always something that I think coaches battle. How content is a team going to be with what they have done as opposed to what he wants them to do next? Nick Saban's the master at it. He somehow or another goes up and just basically pulls the plug on the pinball machine, and whoever had the high score, it's gone. That guy's got to come back and get a high score again. He's just so good at doing that. Bruce Arians, I have no idea. I consider however many coaches Bruce Arians has, Tom Brady is another one of his coaches, and he will get this group fired up for every football game, because he just seems to – he can just embrace that challenge better than anybody out there in today's NFL. But it's incredibly hard to repeat. Now, when we look at the NFC, let's just at least talk a little bit about it before we make our predictions later. The Saints may take a step back. I think that's fair to say. No Drew Brees. The Dallas Cowboys, we don't know who they are. They're an enigma. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks got to prove they can block for him.
that they've got a defense that can stop people. Remember, they gave up tons of points last year. Who's on the comp? Green Bay certainly will be there. That's going to be the biggest challenger that I've got to unseat the Tampa Bay Bucs.
See, the thing you got to remember about Tampa Bay is this. They got hot at the end of last year. A lot of those games they lost, the five games they lost in the regular season, how much of a factor was Leonard Fournette in those games? How much of a factor was Antonio Brown in those games? How much of a factor was Gronk in those games? And they didn't have O.J. Howard for basically the entire year
because
they lost him with an Achilles at the very beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, Fournette came on at the end of last year. We saw that. Gronk had two touchdowns in the Super Bowl. Antonio Brown had two touchdowns in the Super Bowl. And you basically sign a high-priced free agent in O.J. Howard, who you didn't even have last year. So Tampa, after their win, has gotten better this offseason by keeping everybody and by adding a guy like O.J. Howard back into the mix. As far as the NFC goes, yeah, I think the Saints are going to take a step down without Breeze. I'm curious to see a team like basically all four teams in the NFC West. That's the best division in football to me, and it sucks the Jaguars have to play them because the 49ers are healthy now. The Cardinals are pretty good, and we know how good Seattle and the Rams are going to be, particularly with Matthew Stafford. And I'll tell you a team no one's talking about. Washington might have the best defensive line in football. They have one of the best defenses in football. They added Curtis Samuel this offseason with Terry McLaurin. If they get anything out of Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think Washington is a team that you need to really, really watch as well.
Well, I mean, listen, in the NFC, Tampa Bay is going to be the favorite because they've got 22 of their starters coming back. It's unheard of that you re-sign everybody that was up for free agency in one particular year, and they re-signed everybody. So they'll be the ongoing favorites. I think Green Bay is just a notch behind them. I think with Aaron Rodgers being back, with the weapons that he has offensively and defensively, I think there'll be a formidable challenge to them. I think the team after that – the 49ers, you don't know how that dual threat quarterback thing is going to work. You know, Kyle Shanahan, you know, he can't make a decision between Garoppolo or he can't make it between Lance. But I always believe if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one. So it's going to be the dynamics of that. How that's going to work is going to be very interesting. The Rams, you bring in Matthew Stafford, it's got to be Super Bowl or bust because they've got the components on defense. They've got a championship, elite defense. You got the Capoles on offense to make you a contender. Seattle is going to boil down to their defense, and can they protect Russell Wilson? If you protect Russell Wilson, you got an outside chance. The Cowboys are an enigma. You don't know the Cowboys. They got the weapons. They can't play any defense. Dak Prescott's back. The Washington football team, you got Fitzmagic or Fitztragic. You have no idea, but you got an elite defense that can play. And then the Minnesota Vikings, you might be sprinkled in there. The Saints may take a step back because Drew Brees gone. So I think you've got Tampa Bay and Green Bay, and then you've got a shuffleboard of everybody else.
Look, I absolutely cannot wait to see the Patriots. Spent a ton of money in the offseason.
Yeah, they did.
And they've got the local kid, Mac Jones, as a starting quarterback. It's going to be fun to watch them because we've heard it. We've seen what people are writing there in the Northeast. We've heard it on radio shows and on TV and on national shows, ESPN, the NFL Network, the comparisons to Tom Brady. I want to see this team play now. They've got guys now. You know, they went out and spent a lot of money. We don't know if they're going to be the overpaid free agent guys, but they've got guys who you would think could give them a little upgrade from last season. And now you got a quarterback that can throw with accuracy, that can throw on time, and that's certainly not going to have a game where he throws for 79 yards. One game, like Ham did last year.
I do like the talk about which one of these rookie quarterbacks is gonna have the best season, and they're not gravitating to Trevor Lawrence; they're gravitating to Mac Jones instead, which is fine because Mac Jones, of all the rookie quarterbacks that are coming in, you might be able to point to San Francisco if they get healthy, but even Trey Lance isn't healthy right now. Mac Jones fell in the best situation because he's got a great offensive line, and that defense should be able to perform up to a standard that we're used to seeing from Bill Belichick. So there's no reason to think that they will make it difficult for Buffalo to win that division. Buffalo probably still will, but they're going to make it difficult.
Always love the exercise that we're going to do, the seven playoff teams in the AFC, seven in the NFC, Super Bowl, and then your Super Bowl winner. I don't know about you guys. When I was doing mine this morning – in the NFC, I chose between, you know, seven out of like nine teams that I think realistically could make the playoffs. In the AFC, I was thinking like there's a dozen teams.
Yeah, it feels that way.
I mean, there is far more spread out levels of success in the AFC, in the American Football Conference, than there is in the NFC. I mean, realistically, in the AFC, you just go division by division. The Dolphins, the Patriots, the Bills, the Titans, the Colts, really Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore, and then clearly the Chargers and the Chiefs, with maybe a sprinkling of the Raiders in, if you believe in what they're doing out there. There are a lot of teams vying for those seven playoff spots. In the NFC, to me, the exercise, Leon, was not near as difficult. I labeled out nine teams. I basically had to eliminate two. In the AFC, I had to eliminate about five that I think realistically could make the playoffs. So I'm not sure what that tells you about the parity of the league or the way things are going to go in 2021, but I think there is more talent in the AFC than there is in the NFC.
Yeah, it was a bigger challenge for me in the AFC. The same teams that you mentioned, those are the same teams I had on my board. Now, in the NFC, I forgot to throw in Chicago because they have an elite team. But if Justin Fields gets the nod, which I think he will within a couple of weeks, I think the fans will get annoyed by Andy Dalton, and they'll put Justin Fields in there. And if you got a Justin Fields in there with an elite defense, maybe you got a shot for the wild card. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You guys can hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. You can make your predictions as well at 641-1010, who you like, who you don't. And we will get some of those out. We've got Jeff Scott coming up in a little bit. It's a short show on a Thursday, thanks to Preferred Roofing and Preferred Builders.
We saved you a seat. It's Lunch with Leon on 1010XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
21 minutes after the noon hour. We got a shorter show today. We got the French show coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Then Jaguars programming takes over at 4 o'clock, including the Urban Meyer show on both 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jeff Scott's about 10 minutes away. Let's do a little betcha since we're talking some NFL, JJ.
Bet You Didn't Know, brought to you by Travis Cummings and the Bailey Group.
Travis Cummings, an expert when it comes to offering benefits to employees, making sure that they have the coverage they need, they've got the retirement benefits that they need, and if you're a medium or large business, he wants to be able to talk to you. He grew up here, been here, his business life has been here, helping other companies. So jot down Travis Cummings' name and the phone number, 461-1800. Make sure you ask for Travis, 461-1800 at the Bailey Group, and find out how you can treat your employees the best that you possibly can. All right, we're talking NFL. Second half of the year last year, teams got hot. We talked about the Buccaneers, one of the teams that got hot in the second half of the season, made it all the way to the Super Bowl. All right, so there were four receivers in the second half of the year, week 7 through 17, with at least 800 receiving yards and 8 receiving touchdowns. There were four of them. I'll give you two at the top. See if you can give me the other two. Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill had at least 800 receiving yards and 8 receiving touchdowns week 7 to 17 last year. Who were the other two?
Just receivers or tight ends?
Just receivers. Just receivers.
Just receivers. Mm-hmm.
Calvin Ridley jumps to mind.
Justin Jefferson
jumps to mind. I'm thinking about fantasy football. I know Jefferson and Ridley went nuts towards the end of last year.
Because that's make your money time, is it not?
Mm, yeah, for sure.
Robbie Anderson went nuts towards the end of last year, too.
Mike Evans, maybe? LaVisca, no. Colin, no.
D-Hop?
DJ, no.
I get to where you're going, JJ. You're trying. You're trying to get the home team some recognition.
I'm going to go Calvin Ridley, and I'm going to go Robbie Anderson.
Okay. Good guesses.
I'm going to go Mike Evans. And I'm going to go
I'm going to go Stephon Diggs.
Ooh, that's a good one, too.
And
D-Hop. I think that's right.
I don't think D-Hop had a lot of touchdowns.
I think Diggs is right.
I'm going to go Diggs and Jefferson.
I'm gonna change mine. I'm going to go Diggs and Ridley.
Tell you all real quick, because we got to get ready for Jeff Scott. Nobody hit either one of them.
Jeez. No Calvin Ridley.
Wow. Nobody hit either one of them. So Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams, at least 800 receiving yards and 8 receiving touchdowns.
What conference?
The other two, one from the AFC, one from the NFC.
All right, what division? A better question.
Oh, my gosh. One from the AFC
what
South.
What team?
One
what's
from
the initials?
AFC South. AJ
give me
Brown.
Their initials.
AJ Brown.
Yeah, those are the initials. Yeah, AJ Brown's one of them. And the other one that had at least 800 yards and 8 receiving touchdowns, Marvin Jones.
Oh.
So, JJ, you were trying to get a Jaguar in there? He is now. Let's hope he can do the same thing this year that he did last year, because he and Matt Stafford hooked up for some big plays.
Wait a minute. Do I get credit for A.J. Brown? It's like we just totally flossed over the fact that I got that right.
Yeah, after we gave you a couple clues.
I'm just the saying. Division and the initials.
I gave you a ding.
Thank you, buddy. Half
yeah, you got the ding. But
I do have the ding. I appreciate
yes,
that.
Yes, you got it right. Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't your
we're
guess.
We're going to give you a gold star.
I had D's yesterday, and I got the ding today.
I'll tell you what we're going to do, just to try and make you happy, make you feel like you're the winner here. Jack O'Brien just looked at us and said, Woody's is down the hall.
Okay? Right, there you go.
So Woody's Barbecue, Jeff Scott
well,
coming up next.
That's Matt Hayes. That's all Matt Hayes doing.
Well, I'm just Jacko's the one who made sure it happened. That's what I know.
Me, that's Jacko.
We saved you a seat. It's Lunch with Leon on 1010XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
Kickoff of the NFL season's going to happen down in Tampa Town as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers begin defense of their Super Bowl title. Let's head to Tampa and say hello to South Florida Bulls head coach Jeff Scott. Welcome in, coach. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hope you are.
Hey, we're doing good. I know the season didn't get off to the start that you wanted, but it's safe to say that you've got passion for the program, and it's certainly under a rebuild. What kind of things do you think need to happen or can happen between week one and week two?
Yeah, well, typically, the biggest improvement that you make is from week one to week two, whether you played well in the first game or not. And I think the big focus for us this week is really cleaning up some execution. You know, we did have some opportunities last Thursday against NC State and really just did not execute. And when you don't execute versus a really good team like NC State, then bad things happen. That's exactly, you know, what transpired. So our focus this week has really been about how we do what we do and getting guys to be locked in and execute the call that we call and really just work on our own improvement within our team.
Hey, Jeff, it's Matt Hayes. Thanks so much for joining us. The quarterback position in college football, really in NFL too, it's so important now. It's everything. Accuracy, it's just such a big deal. How important is that for you guys moving forward?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's hard to find a successful program that doesn't have a consistent quarterback, right? Consistent quarterback play is one of the keys that you really need to have a good team. And you know, I was really pleased, with our off season throughout spring ball and the summer and fall camp. I really felt like our quarterbacks had practiced well. But ultimately, when you get out there on Thursday and go out there and play in your first game, you know, that's what really matters. And, you know, unfortunately, Cade Fortin just kind of got off to a slow start and missed a few throws and had a few poor decisions. And, you know, those are things that he's been able to go back and watch this week. And I'm confident that he'll play better this Saturday. And then also Timmy McClain is a very talented freshman that came in, and he kind of provided a spark and did some really good things. And then, unfortunately, had some turnovers in the red zone that he can't do and he has to learn from. But I am optimistic that we're going to have better quarterback play this year. And, you know, we just got to really learn from the mistakes of week one.
Head coach Jeff Scott of the South Florida Bulls here with us on XL Primetime. Of course, Florida and South Florida this Saturday. The game can be heard right here on 1010XL beginning at 10 a.m. Sunday or Saturday morning. Coach, you have a heck of an opportunity on Saturday. You got national TV. You got the Gators coming down to Raymond James Stadium. Florida doesn't do this sort of thing very often. So Florida coming into Tampa, it is a great opportunity not only for your players – but for that entire USF community to get some exposure out there and really let people know about the program.
Absolutely. This has been a game that our fans have looked forward to for a long time. I know our players, whenever it was announced a couple years ago that we'd be playing Florida here in Ray J, you know, that was something that they were all excited about. And just like you said, it's a great opportunity. It's definitely a huge challenge. We're playing a very good football team. Physical, very athletic, really good speed. It's definitely going to be a big challenge, but I think the opportunity to have them at our place, I think is, just like you said, it's great for our program, but also for this Tampa Bay community. And really what our focus is for us to go out and play well and make it a special day.
Now, after the devastating loss last week, Coach, I'm sure having a national team like Florida coming into your house this week, I'm sure how has the execution of your team on both sides of the ball been this week so far?
Yeah, it's been better. I mean, I think the guys understand. They're all disappointed because we don't feel like how we played, you know, last week really represents where this team is this year. But really, all you can do is control what you can control. And really, it's all about what's next and what's in front of you. And we have had a good week of practice. And now it's going to be about, you know, converting the stuff from practice over to the game field. And it'll be another opportunity. You know, this is a big opportunity, but it's really exactly that. It's one opportunity. And that's what I told the guys after last week. You know, we played one game, got 11 games to go. And, you know, this game this week's the biggest game of the year. And it's not because we're playing Florida, but it's because it's the next game. And that's really the mentality that you have to have to be consistent week in and week out.
Couple more for Jeff Scott, coach of the South Florida Bulls, with the Gators heading down to Tampa Town to take them on. You mentioned Cade Fortin, and then also you mentioned the freshman, Timmy McClain. Will you settle in, or will you look and continue to look for options as far as how you're going to maybe rotate quarterbacks or just go with one guy?
Yeah, well, I think the ultimate goal is for one guy to step up and really become our starter. I think as a head coach, you really don't want to be in a situation where you're having to kind of play musical chairs with the quarterbacks and get guys in there. So our goal is to have one, but, you know, we have to kind of use these first couple games to figure that out. And, you know, I'm confident that somebody will emerge and kind of become our starter that we can really kind of get behind and move forward with. But, you know, that has not happened through one game. So there's definitely opportunity for other guys to play as well on Saturday, and this will be a big evaluation opportunity for us as we are looking to find our quarterback.
Jeff, speaking of quarterback, Florida has a new quarterback. They have new receivers. They have some new running backs, new tight ends. When you look at that offense, what concerns you?
Well, first of all, they're very strong running the ball. I think they've got a really good offensive line returning, some veteran guys up front. They're very talented and very deep at the running back position. I mean, any of those guys can go, and they've got really good speed. And then, you know, both of their quarterbacks, I mean, these guys are dynamic guys, and whenever they get the ball in their hands, you know, they can score at any moment. So, you know, I believe they had 400 yards last week against FAU running the ball. And there was times that FAU, you know, made a few stops here and there, but just the overall consistency of their running game was very, very impressive. And so that's been a big focus for us this week. I mean, that's really where it starts, week in and week out. But, you know, versus a very talented offensive line and skill guys, that's going to be definitely a big key to the game for us.
Coach, there is no question that you have your eyes on the Florida Gators on Saturday at 1 o'clock. Sunday at 1 o'clock here in Jacksonville, a guy you know very well, Trevor Lawrence, makes his NFL debut for the Jaguars. Will you take a sneak peek at that on Sunday as a guy that coached Trevor for 2 years there at Clemson?
Well, I'm definitely pulling for Trevor. I mean, of all the guys that I had the chance to coach at Clemson, I mean, he's right there at the very top. I mean, he was a pro whenever he showed up on campus as a freshman. Just the way he carried himself, his maturity, and his consistency, work ethic, all the things that you look for. So, none of us that were around him at Clemson are surprised of where he is. And I think that Jacksonville is going to be very pleased here over the next couple of years with the player they have leading their offense. And, you know, for me, it's hard. You know, on Sunday, we spend a lot of time kind of getting ready, putting the last game to bed and getting ready for the next opponent. So typically what happens is late Sunday night, whenever I get home, I'll kind of get a recap of how all of our former players did. And so I'll definitely have an eye on it, but I probably won't be able to watch the game.
Yeah, clearly every game is important. This one a little extra important because it's Florida, a big recruiting weekend. A lot of high school guys from the state, you know, are going to be watching, going to be there watching. Does that give it a little extra juice for you guys sometimes?
Well, yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's going to be great energy in the stadium. We're going to have a ton of recruits there, and I think we're expecting a sellout crowd here on Saturday. So the emotion and the energy will be there, which is awesome. But, you know, as far as a coach, you really got to get your guys to understand the only thing that's really going to matter is how we play and how we execute. And it is just what we talked about. It's a great opportunity if we're in a position to go take advantage of that. And so that's really where our focus is. But, yes, there's no doubt there's going to be a lot of excitement as we get ready to kick this thing off Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Coach, appreciate the time. Hopefully you'll be given time to do what you need to do to rebuild down there. Michael Kelly, love the guy. So just tell him to open up that budget for you a little bit more, okay? And that way you can recruit and do whatever else you need to do down there, okay?
I appreciate it. And we just had a groundbreaking yesterday on a $22 million indoor facility, which we're excited about. So I definitely feel like we've got great support here and looking forward to building something special here over the next couple of years.
Great. Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. Really appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
Yeah, good stuff from a good guy there, Jeff Scott, formerly the OC at Clemson, now in year number two at USF. I really like the guy, Matt. He's always gracious with his time to come on with us. I think we've had Jeff on like three times now in the last calendar year, so certainly loves getting the word out about USF, but reality is reality. And it's not all his fault. He inherited a bad situation, but they're 1-9 in their last 10. They lost 45-0 last week to NC State. I mean, Joe said it. Will a guy like Jeff Scott be given the time to do what needs to be done there to turn that program around?
Well, Joe mentioned Michael Kelly, who's the AD at South Florida. And Michael will give Jeff time because Michael knows what he walked into. Michael used to work for the ACC and for the college football playoff. Michael's a sharp guy. He realizes that Jeff is a really sharp dude. And Jeff has a really good staff. Charlie Weiss Jr. is a guy that NFL teams still want to this day. He's the OC there. He's got a good staff. They got to get players. They'll get players, and then eventually it'll start to turn. Right now, he's still in that process of, look, you've got to weed out guys that don't want to do what you want to do, that don't want to jump on the train, don't want to be part of what you're doing. Every coach goes through it. Year two usually is the year where you start to turn a little bit. Clearly a bad first game, Two interceptions in the red zone for one quarterback, another interception in the red zone for the other quarterback. You're looking at, that's a potential 21 points right there. Now, you still lose big, but at least you got 21 points on the board.
Yeah.
They'll get there. It's just a matter of, because he's a really good recruiter. They will get there. It's just, you got to give him time.
Yeah, and hopefully Michael will. And Michael Kelly, by the way, was the guy who ran the Super Bowl here in Jacksonville, was part of that selection or headed up that college football playoff committee to begin with. But, Leon, you certainly can appreciate a team that, like your days at FIU, when you – South Florida, like, they're going to have to come back in on Monday with another L and then another L and then another L. And from a coaching perspective, it ain't easy to keep those kids propped up and putting in the work.
Well, the key is you got to keep the kids motivated. You got to keep the kids bought into that, there's losing somewhere that down the road it's going to turn around. And it's more so the younger kids, because the kids that you inherit – they're going to be out the door within a year or two. Mm-hmm. The kids that you recruit, they're your kids or whatever, and they have to suffer to loss after loss after loss. You just got to give them the buy-in that, listen, this thing is going to turn around. We're going to start winning a lot more games than we lose, and that's all you can really do. All you can do is sell, even mm-hmm. though you're having 1, 2, 3 game seasons where you win football games.
Yeah. I'm not saying, Leon, that South Florida is going to beat Florida. It's a 29.5 point line. I actually may take USF in 29.5. That's a pretty crazy line. But reality is reality. And reality is Florida has Alabama, an Armageddon of a college football game coming up on the 18th. In seven days by the time they line up against USF. And these kids are human beings. They're already thinking about Alabama a little bit. And by the way, they seem to have a quarterback issue in Gainesville between Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson. Are there enough ingredients in this recipe for it to maybe be closer than it should be for a half or so? Is Florida going to be thinking about Alabama when they're on the field in Tampa on Saturday playing USF?
Well, listen, if I'm Mullins, I'm not going to show my whole hand against USF. I'm going to play with a limited playbook, because with a limited playbook, you should still be able to beat South Florida about 20, 25 points. And then maybe you save the other half of your playbook, something Alabama hasn't seen for the mm-hmm. Swamp when you see them a week later. I mean, there's no need to tip your whole hand against South Florida when you know you got the roll tie rolling in here the next week.
And if you play with a limited playbook, it could keep the game closer. Kind of like FAU last week. The game was never in doubt, but it was never going to be 59-3 either.
Yeah, I think it could keep the game closer. I also think that Dan Mullen needs to figure out his quarterback situation. That may keep the game closer. How much is Emory Jones going to play? Who gets the first team snaps all week? Do they get split up? How are they going to go about deciding if you say, okay, I'm going to give Emory Jones the bulk of the snaps, then I'm going to let him start the game. Then Anthony Richardson goes in against backups and ultimately goes off again, and then all of a sudden there's going to be the swell of support for AR over Emory. And Emory went against first-teamers. Anthony Richardson, this is kind of like a classic preseason setup for an NFL game. And I know that Dan Mullen's thinking he's got to make a swift, smart decision about this quarterback play and be right. And I don't know if he's going to have the opponent that he's going to go up against to feel for sure that he's got it right.
Matt, it was interesting. We're going to have Denny Thompson in studio at 1:30. We recorded Gator Bites earlier this morning, which you can go to 1010XL.com for our weekly Gator podcast. And Denny's a guy that trained Anthony Richardson, has worked with Emory Jones. I asked him flat out, if you were Dan Mullen, how would you do it? He said he would rotate him every series. He would give Emory a series. He'd give Anthony a series. Emory a series, Anthony a series. He said he doesn't believe Mullen will do that. That's what he would do. He believes Mullen might go two series for Emory, one for Anthony. You got to see Anthony Richardson throw the ball on Saturday so you could feel comfortable putting him in there against Alabama.
He's going to throw the ball. He will throw the ball 10 times at least in that game, Anthony Richardson. To me, it's like this. Honestly, short of Emory getting hurt or Emory throwing five picks in that game against USF and they win 21-20, he's the starter at Alabama when they play Alabama. It's not even a question. He's starting. There's no way that Mullen is going to put Anthony Richardson in that situation where he's starting against that Alabama team.
I'm sorry, man. I call it a question.
He's not going to play. I'm telling you, Emory's going to be the starter in that game.
I know, but I can't help but keep coming back to the same thing. What experience does Emory Jones have over Anthony Richardson?
He knows the offense more.
Yeah, but this much.
I don't know if it's that much, Joe. Yeah. It might be more than that.
Well, Anthony Richardson's been there over a year now.
Yeah,
he's got a pretty good idea.
Yeah, he was there as a redshirt last year.
I guess the guy's been there for four years, man.
No, I get it. Okay, I get it. It's not like Anthony Richardson arrived 2 months ago.
And it's not like Emory doesn't have any talent.
Right, but let's not just – I feel like I got to pound the table on. Because, Leon, if you went to Miami and you were there for 4 years and you weren't a starter back in your day, that's them telling you something. You haven't beaten people out. If this other guy steps up and immediately starts beating this guy either in practice or in play on the field, that coach is going to get his butt on the football field before the guy that's been there for 4 years.
Valid point.
He will not play until he's proven he can throw the ball better than Emory.
Sure,
as simple as that.
I get that.
He will not play.
I don't care if it's 10 years.
That I understand.
10 years, 5 years, 10 months, or 10 minutes. Who gives you a better chance to beat Alabama?
I agree with you completely.
I'm agreeing with you. I think right now, on September 9th at 12:49 Eastern, I think Emory Jones probably gives you a better chance in 9 days. Now, if Anthony Richardson on Saturday in Tampa goes out there and goes 10 of 12 for $175 and 2 scores – well, then talk to me then, because my thoughts may change at that point.
Yeah, and I can't. And I mean, there's any head coach is going to, if they're smart. This may like Kirby made a bad decision last year not playing JT Daniels early because he was just being a little stubborn. But most coaches will do the obvious. That guy gives me the best chance to win. I got to put him in.
Yes.
Now you're walking a fine line, recruiting, commitment to the team, which is what Emory's been, all that stuff. But I know that Dan Mullen knows how dang important this game is.
Right, but Joe, that stuff you said, the recruiting and the commitment to the team, that all ends when the game starts.
Right.
You are going for the guy that helps you win. Yeah. I completely 100% agree and back that. Now, I will say this. You're talking about a guy who looks a little shaky right now as a thrower. Going against that Alabama defense as a thrower.
I totally get it.
So that's my only question with Anthony. I agree with you guys. The talent is there. I totally agree with it. And I've talked to Denny about this. I totally agree. The talent is there. But it's different when you get on the field and you got to do it.
Right.
You haven't done it over and over.
Wasn't Emory shaky last week?
That's my
contention. He was, yeah.
100%. I mean, that really is my contention.
That's also 1 week. Let's see what he does week two.
Right. But, and again, we've had this argument for a long time about what Emory is going to be, and it's not like I'm rooting against the guy.
Oh, I agree.
I feel like I pinned my hopes on the other guy because I just like what I see, but there will come a time, and it's going to come very, very soon, where it's the put-up or shut-up time, and you either are
100%.
Going to be an accurate, effective passer that doesn't make mistakes, or you're going to be sitting on the bench.
All I'm saying is do not file that kid away so quickly.
That's true. I get that.
The only problem – well, it's not the only, but one of the main problems about this, Leon, what is the classic saying? If you have two quarterbacks, you really don't have any. Every time now Emory Jones throws a bad incompletion, or every time Emory Jones fumbles a snap, or every time Emory Jones throws a pick like he did last week, that stadium is going to start the Anthony Richardson chants. They're going to start the booing. They're going to start wanting to see Anthony more and more and more. And it's just a bad situation to fall into. They should have figured this out. They had the entire spring. They had the entire summer. They had fall camp. You had all this time to figure out who your quarterback was going to be.
But he has figured it out. He said it after the game. Yeah, he has figured it out. Emory's his quarterback.
Do you believe Anthony Richardson plays against South Florida?
Yeah, of course he does.
How much is he going to play?
I don't know, but of course he plays.
I'm asking you, if you had to guess, what's the percentage of snaps Anthony Richardson takes?
25%, 30%.
Okay, 25 to 30%?
Yeah.
I think that might be low. I'm going to say 35 to 40. But let's say 30%. If he's taking 30% of the snaps, 3 out of every 10, you do not have a solid starting quarterback. I mean, starting quarterbacks don't miss 3 out of every 10 plays.
I don't know about that. I mean, how many snaps did Tebow get with Leak?
I was just thinking,
Tim Tebow was a true freshman.
And that had this problem with Leaks and Tebow, didn't you?
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the way to the natty.
There you go.
Yeah. And they had design plays
for
him.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Whoa, Chris Leak was a 3-year starter by then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Emory Jones has started one game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the humongous difference.
No, that's clearly a difference, but my point is that's the rotation he had there, okay? If he feels like Emory is his best option as a thrower, which clearly he does right now at this point because he's adamant that Emory's his quarterback, then that's what he does. He'll play Emory 67%.
He's tight wiring this bad boy.
All right, I'm telling you he's not.
Let's get into the 1 o'clock hour. We've got picks to make. We're going to predict our Super Bowl teams. We're going to get all that in. We mentioned Denny Thompson. He'll be in a little bit later on in the 1 o'clock hour as we roll till 2 this afternoon. Thanks to Preferred Roofing with all the rain. Make sure that that roof that is above you is protecting you and not leaking. If it's in need of replacement, you need a local company that can take care of you. PreferredRoofingJax.com. Log on and check them out along with Preferred Builders.
We saved you a seat. It's Lunch with Leon on 1010XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
1 o'clock hour is here. We roll, man, until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Thanks to Preferred Roofing and Preferred Builders. It's XL Primetime. Joe C., Big Sirs, Hack, Matty Hayes. Check out his stuff at Saturday Down South, along with the College Golf Show, 11 a.m. on Saturday. JJ bringing the hits to the show. All right, so let's go, man. We got to do AFC. We got to do NFC. We got Denny Thompson coming up in just a little bit, so we need to rock and roll. Leon, when we start putting the AFC picture together as far as the playoffs, what are some of the things popping, you know, through the Leon brain, through the Searcy filter? Because let's just be honest here. You win more than we do, okay? Well, you win more than we do.
No, I set the pace, bro. I set the pace. Because if you check it, last year, look, all of us were above 500.
Yeah, we had a solid record. Yeah.
Man, we were all within one game of each other going into the Super Bowl.
But do you guys remember the Corona call it when he would call the upsets? Right. I called a couple of them. We all called it. But this dude just kept crushing it.
At least I put some money on that. That's when I started losing for sure. All right, so my division winners in the AFC, KC, Buffalo, Browns, Titans. Mm-hmm. Okay, those are my division winners. Playoff teams, Ravens, Patriots, Steelers.
Okay.
That's what I got.
Interesting, the Patriots. I think you might be out on a ledge there.
I'm kind of waffling with them. All right, so the AFC, and we said it earlier, you could easily pick 3 teams out of the AFC North, 3 teams out of the AFC East. You might be looking out west and even thinking 3 teams out there. You included Denver, did you not?
Mm-hmm.
Did you include Denver or did you include as far as your wild card teams?
No, Denver. No, no,
okay,
no.
Okay.
No, they're number one.
Some people are starting to kind of love on Denver a little bit, which I'm kind of torn there.
Say your wild card teams one more time, Leon, for some people that are at home writing them
down. My wild card teams are Ravens, Patriots, Steelers.
Okay.
So here's my thing about the AFC, and I did a long, long look at this morning, meaning about 3 minutes or so. You look at the divisions, right?
I always like to say 3 minutes is a long time as well.
Yeah. No, 3 minutes gets the job done for me most of the time, actually. So I look at Buffalo in the AFC East. I can't imagine anybody else winning that division other than the Buffalo Bills. I like Miami. I think New England did a lot in free agency, but Buffalo is clearly to me the best team in that division. I look at the AFC West. Kansas City, obviously. Now, I think Los Angeles is going to make some noise, and I'll get to them in a moment. AFC North was a real toss-up. I went Cleveland to win it, and I'm taking Tennessee because nobody else has Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, and A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
So my division winners, Buffalo, Tennessee, Cleveland, Kansas City, the exact same as Leon. Here's where I differ from Leon on the wild cards. I think the AFC North is the best division in the AFC. So I have both Pittsburgh and Baltimore in as wild cards. So three out of the four. Cleveland's the division winner. Pittsburgh gets in as a wild card. Baltimore is a wild card. And I'm buying into the Justin Herbert praise. And I'll tell you even more so than that. I think Herbert's a dark horse MVP candidate. I think Herbert could win the MVP of the league this year.
Look what he did last year. If he has anything close, the finish was pretty disappointing because they weren't winning games. They're going to expect a lot out of him, but he's going to have the full complement of the whole year, and he's going to have an extra game. And if he keeps slinging it the way he did, he's got a chance. All right, Matt, and I hate the fact that it sounds like a lot of us are going pretty much down the same road here.
I got the Bills in the East.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Browns in the North.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Titans in the South. I got, of course, the Chiefs in the West. My wild cards are the Chargers, the Patriots, and the Ravens.
Yeah. And I hate it because we're sitting here and I'm thinking about, like, just changing mine up just a little bit just because I don't want to be the exact same as everybody else.
Please do. Go with Jacksonville. Oh, yeah. Go with Las Vegas.
By
go
the way,
with Houston.
Sportsbetting.ag has got Trevor Lawrence as a betting favorite for the Rookie of the Year right now. And I love the fact that he could be the Rookie of the Year, a la what we saw from Justin Herbert last year with those the big yards that he put up late. But it's hard not – there's question marks surrounding Indianapolis. So I think most people have got to go with Tennessee. So I'm going to go, just like you guys, the Tennessee Titans. I like the Browns. A lot of it has to do with the unbelievable roster that they've got. And Kevin Stefanski looks like he's figured a lot of things out. They're still a hungry football team. They were able to win and make it to the postseason for the first time since, 2004 or something like that with their win last year.
And their backups are really good.
They're just – yeah, exactly. Although they lost Kyle LaLetta to us right here in Jacksonville. And then you got to go with the Chiefs, obviously. And then if you start taking a look at where everything's going to shake out as far as the playoff picture, I like the New England Patriots. I like the New England Patriots as a wild card team. The money spent up in New England and the drive and determination. You know what this is?
So I'm the only guy in this room not taking the Patriots to make the playoffs.
And I think we'll find out. We'll find out if we think he's right. If Bill Belichick is going to be right. This dude did something this offseason. This offseason he never does,
right,
which is spend a bunch of money.
And
he went out and he landed an unbelievably gifted quarterback in Mac Jones with the 15th pick overall. So I am putting the Patriots in the postseason.
I guess this would be a JJ Statson info question. How many rookie quarterbacks taken outside the top 10 have taken their team to the playoffs in year number one?
Mm-hmm. Good one.
I cannot imagine very many have done that. And if Mac Jones does it, good on him.
Big Ben did it in year two, right?
Big Ben did it in year two. Yeah, 05. Lamar Jackson did not start of his rookie year.
How did you phrase the beginning of that?
Rookie quarterbacks taken outside the top 10.
Outside the top 10, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So just getting back to the picks. I don't know who Brandon Staley is. I know he's a good defensive play caller, and he's got a good quarterback out there in L.A., so I am putting the Chargers in as one of my wild card picks. And I'm waffling a little bit, Leon, between Pittsburgh and Baltimore as far as I think Pittsburgh could take a step back this year.
Yeah.
Like half of me says yes, half of me says no. But I am going to put the Baltimore Ravens in as my third wild card.
Now, let me ask you this.
So you have the Pats, the Ravens, and who?
Pats, Ravens, Chargers.
All right, so we'll do the NFC in a moment. Who's your AFC champion? Leon, we'll start with you. Who represents the Super Bowl for the American Football Conference?
Buffalo.
You have Buffalo. It's interesting because I have Buffalo, too. I think Buffalo knocks off Kansas City. So you and I both have Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
I have Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
Joe?
This has a lot to do with the quarterback and if the line comes together because they made wholesale changes. I'm going to put the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl for the third straight year.
Matt?
Wow. I've got the Bills beating the Chargers in the AFC Championship game.
So we have three Buffaloes and one Kansas City.
Well, I had Buffalo beating the Browns in the AFC Championship game.
Mm. I did not do an AFC Championship game, but I'm going Buffalo in the
Super
Bowl.
By the way.
Patrick Mahomes still exists.
He does still exist.
Mahomes.
Mahomes was on the ropes last year against Cleveland. And Buffalo was hanging around there for a while,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Oh,
Kansas
yeah.
Kansas City won the games, but they were close.
On the ropes the year before, too.
And well, yeah, it was a close game the year before.
He likes to smell him from behind, you know.
Yes.
The line broke down whenever Eric Fisher went down, second quarter of that game?
Something like that with the Achilles, yeah.
And that certainly kind of pulled that game together as far as making it close. But I think Andy Reid and Mahomes, when it's all said and done, I don't know whether Andy Reid right off in the sunset if he wins a Super Bowl, but 2 out of 3 years, I think he is right now at the top of the heap as far as the best coach out there. And I obviously think Mahomes and them are going to be driven after losing the way they did last year to the Buccaneers.
My thing about Pittsburgh, I think I'm the only one that Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
Yeah, just
my thing about Pittsburgh is they've heard that all offseason,
mm-hmm.
that they're going to tail off. And Big Ben only played one preseason game, played one quarter, one preseason game, and he threw for like 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. They're going to sling it. Now, that offensive line has been decimated by free agency, by retirement, by releasing guys like David DeCastro. I get that. But if that offensive line somehow protects him and he has Claypool and Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson and all these cats to throw it around to, I think Pittsburgh could score a ton of points.
If his arm holds.
Yeah, I really worry about that line. And all right, they have an answer for the running game with Najee Harris, but do they have an answer for all the defensive points or the way the defense and all the points that they gave up last year?
Well, I mean, I think the Steelers still have an elite defensive front that can get after and can stop the run. Yeah, the key is going to be they got 3 rookie offensive linemen up front.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be the key to the game, how well they're able to protect, how they're able to run the football. So,
and if you're Pittsburgh, you need to pay T.J. Watt.
Yeah,
whatever he wants, you do. There's still a contract issue there into this year.
Yeah, he just barely showed up for practice, and
he's angry. Yeah, he wants more money. I don't blame him.
And by the way, there are a couple of other contracts that are being signed right now with other big money being given out by other teams. And hey, Roethlisberger said it: pay the man whatever he wants.
Well, you got to pay the man because over the last 3 years, he's only behind Aaron Donald behind sacks and tackles for loss.
You could legitimately argue that T.J. Watt is the best defensive player in football. Aaron Donald probably wins that argument, but it's not crazy to say that T.J. Watt is. He's definitely in the conversation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The other one real quick, and we'll get to the NFC coming up here in just a second, but just as far as MVP and all that is concerned, T.J. Watt's going to get some love, that's for sure. We'll hit some of those from sportsbetting.ag coming up here in just a bit. So we get to the NFC next right here on XL Primetime.
This is XL Primetime, protected by Preferred Roofing on 1010XL.
17 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, we're here till 2 this afternoon, then the Franchise Show comes rolling in. Jaguars programming at 4 o'clock this afternoon, so we got plenty as we lead up to the kickoff of the NFL season tonight and a full slate on Sunday, including your Jaguars. You'll hear it right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. We got to give Jack O'Brien a shout-out. High-flying Jack O'Brien. For bringing some grub into
it. Yeah, it came through in the clutch. There's no doubt about it. They say at Woody's Barbecue is what they do, and they are not kidding. Absolutely terrific chicken, turkey, the works. Thank you to Jacko, and more importantly, the good folks over at Woody's for providing us nourishment today. Absolutely outstanding.
So we've got to get to the NFC. We've made our AFC picks. We've got our division champions, our wild cards. I will lead off with the NFC as we take a look at this bad boy. And you're looking at the NFC South. I don't think too many people are going to object to Tampa Bay being selected as the winner of the NFC South. I'm going to go Bucks. I'm going to go Washington in the East. I'm going to go Green Bay Packers up to the North and out to the West. I'm going to take the LA Rams. Those are the teams I like.
That's exactly who I have.
Yeah?
Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Rams, Washington.
One you like you're a little nervous about? Any of them?
No. Well, Washington. Washington and the Cowboys. It's kind of flip-flop between those two. But I went with the Washington football team.
See, to me, the NFC, like we said, there's far more choices than the AFC. The NFC has a lot of really bad teams, right? Now, what's funny about that, I think they have the best division. I think the NFC West is the best division in football. Because of that, my division winners, Washington, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and the Rams. But then my wild cards are New Orleans, the Niners, and the Seahawks. I have 3 teams out of the NFC West getting in. I just don't have a lot of confidence in the Vikings, don't have a lot of confidence in the Bears. I left Dallas out because I'm not sure if people realize this. They're not very good. I know people talk about Hard Knocks and Dak is back. Well, when Dak was 100%, before his ankle got turned counterclockwise. They weren't going to the playoffs then either. Washington, that defensive line is ridiculously good, and I think they're going to win the East. I think Dallas misses the playoffs again.
Maddie.
Yeah, I'm not buying Fitzmagic. I'm just not.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd they win the division with last year? Taylor Heineke.
Last couple games with Taylor
Heineke. Alex Smith before that?
Alex Smith was 5-1. I mean, you can say all you want about his leg. He was 5-1.
Yeah, and who else was up there? Was Keenan up there last year?
Maybe.
Bottom line is Heineke.
Colt McCoy.
Yeah, McCoy. Yeah, exactly.
When you got a defensive line like that,
I love
Fitzpatrick.
I love Washington.
Just needs to be not terrible. Right,
he becomes Fitz tragic quickly.
Because this is it. I think I love Washington just by default because some people are projecting the New York Giants to make it to the postseason. I just don't see how with that offensive
line. I got the Cowboys. I think it might be another. Another 7-9 thing, or 7-10 at this point.
Yeah. All right, hit yours.
I got the Cowboys in the East. I got the Pack in the North. The Bucks, of course, in the South. And I was back and forth in the West, but I took the Rams. And the wild cards are the Niners, Seahawks, and the Saints.
Okay, wow, so you and I have literally the same seven teams.
So you pulled two out of the NFC West. It's hard not to. It really is. Yeah. But you have your wild cards.
No, you have three NFC West.
Oh, my wild card.
I got the Saints.
I got the three NFC West teams making the playoffs.
Yeah, my wild card is Niners, Saints, Cowboys.
Okay, Niners, Saints, Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Man, I am just sitting here flip-flopping all over the place. I don't know what to do with the New Orleans Saints. I think Sean Payton is just an unbelievable coach, and he's got Jameis – doing some great things. It's hard not to include them. The Niners, I think, is still a huge question mark as far as what's going to happen with their quarterback position. And the Seahawks, major question mark when it comes to their offensive line.
Right.
I'm going to put the Cowboys in. I'm going to put the Niners in, and I'm going to put the Saints in.
Here's my thoughts on the Saints. And maybe this is just me. You guys tell me if my dander's getting up too much and I should just let it roll off my back. But I got Twitter videos coming out of TIAA Bank Field right now. Understanding the Saints and the Packers play down there on Sunday, it is a Saints home game as they can't play in New Orleans because they're still dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Ida. So I'm happy that we opened our doors to the Saints. I hope columnist Jeff Duncan doesn't come here because I got very little time for that guy after that article last week in the New Orleans Times-Picayune. But the Saints logo is being written in the end zone. The Saints... The word Saints is in the end zone, mm-hmm. and the logo is also being written in the midfield line area.
Yeah.
They're turning TIAA Bank Field into the New Orleans Saints field for Sunday afternoon.
I think it's cool.
That kind of bothers me. Yes, it does. Yeah. Why did they have to do that?
I don't know, because they want to show who's playing,
It's not the Saints field. It's not their home field.
I know,
they are visitors to our
can you imagine,
to
like,
our castle.
Yeah, this is a special situation.
What is wrong with you? Rather them have the Jags logo?
Yeah. No, just don't have the NFL logo.
The entire city's been like thrown upheaval. And like you're worried about paint on a field.
I am worried about
paint. It's the first winning team that's played in that place for a decade.
And I'll tell you next weekend, you're going to be able to see some of the remnant still.
Hold on. I'll tell you this as well. I bet you on the text line is on by Lifetime Enclosures right now at 641-1010. Let's take a quick poll. If other Jaguar fans are upset by this, I bet you they will be.
Yeah, let's make a prediction. Butthurt Jaguar fan mad at the Saints logo in the football field. What a surprise. What a shock. I love the fact that you've got Aaron Rodgers and one of the better coaches out there in the National Football League and Sean Payton showing up to play a game. I think it's cool.
I
get shown off on week one and week two.
Right. I'm not
back-to-back weeks, and I'll take it all day long.
I'm not
You're
saying anything about that.
Big-time talent on both sides playing. I got no problem. And by the way, I got displaced Cajuns that are right next door to me. They got run out of New Iberia because of that hurricane.
Right.
I'm happy
as
hell.
What do you say, Leon? If you got an issue, go get some tissue.
Get a tissue.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I agree with everything you just said. Aaron Rodgers, Jameis Winston, Green Bay, New Orleans, Alvin Kamara. I agree with all that. I don't need the Saints logo on the field. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, so what? You think it should just be a blank field?
It should be the NFL
just a grass
logo.
Field.
Yeah,
the NFL
or the NFL. Have the NFL logo or
welcome to Jacksonville. Is that what you think?
Or have
be?
Some charities or something. I don't know.
It's the NFL.
The who dat's in town, baby. Who dat?
I think it sucks, and I got problems with it.
Yeah. Of course you do.
That's where I'm at in life.
Are you upset because that's actually a winning
winner
team playing on that
in the
field?
You, you got a winner actually playing over the last decade.
Y'all are the ones saying that, not me. Although I'm gonna be the one blamed for that on Twitter later.
Yeah.
No, but I think that's outrageous, and I don't like it.
Yeah. I just like the fact that whoever
childish.
Did it,
a little bit,
yeah, whoever did it, Shad, Tony, Mark,
good for
Lamping,
you, right? Good for
any
you.
Of them,
yep.
Good for you.
Yep,
open our doors.
Yep.
And let's let them in, and they're gonna get the tab coming back for them as far as revenue is concerned, and You know, I talked to my buddies over there, and they're pretty busy with the tickets. They still obviously have tickets available, so we'll see ultimately how it shakes out with them. All right, so NFC Championship. And by the way, Denny Thompson is a Saints fan, and you're piling on. We're going to deal with that coming up here in just a second. Yeah, exactly. Denny's
the
got a little something. Adam,
you just got one finger of his 10, and I'm not going to tell you which
just
one
said?
It is.
He just said, who dat? With the one finger salute. All right, NFC Championship game, Big Sur, and then your Super Bowl participant.
NFC Championship game, I've got Tampa and the 49ers. And my Super Bowl, I've got 49ers and Buffalo.
Oh, wow. Trey Lance leading them to the Super Bowl. Wow.
You have the Niners winning the NFC.
All right, so
I like that. It's different.
I will jump in with the NFC Championship game, and I'm going to flip the script. And it's going to be the same two teams that were there a year ago, and they're going to play in Tampa instead of Lambeau, although I would love to see it in Lambeau again. And the Green Bay Packers will come out victorious and will win the Super Bowl.
In the NFC Championship game, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in the 1-2
so
matchup.
Same one.
And I have Tampa Bay winning that one. I got Tampa and Buffalo in the Super Bowl, which I think would be an absolutely great game. And I have the Buffalo Bills knocking off Tom Brady to win the Lombardi Trophy to bring Buffalo their first Super Bowl, right?
So
their first Super Bowl ever.
What are the Super Bowl winners again? Say them again.
Well, I've got 49ers of Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
Who's your winner?
Buffalo.
Who's your winner?
Green Bay.
Your winner's Buffalo.
Buffalo.
All right. The NFC, I got the Rams over the Bucks in the NFC. In the AFC, I've got the Bills over the Chargers. In the Super Bowl, I got the Bills winning it all.
You got it too, huh?
So the Bills have no chance then. Yeah. With three of us all taking the Bills to win the Super Bowl.
I really wanted to pick the Rams, too. The Rams D.
Man, they're really good.
I really wanted to pick the Rams.
Really good. We're going to find out about Matt Stafford because according to the research, and one guy did hit us on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures with this stat, and at the time that he played the team during the season, his record is 8-67 against teams that – finished the season with a winning record.
Finished.
What about the season?
What was his record of games against teams that winning?
Right.
At
and
the
then if
t-
you go back
time.
To the other stat that they had, it was at least a little more reasonable. Let me see if I can find it again. He was 67-90 against teams with a winning record.
He also played on some really bad Lions teams.
Yeah. Excuse me. 74-90. Okay. So there you go. All right. All right. Let's make room for Denny Thompson. Big Sur, you gonna head out?
I'm up.
All right, now you got to work out today?
Got to, yeah.
Got to lift.
And then we might break bread later, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Potentially.
At
the local watering hole.
After three.
To kick off the season.
There you go.
That's the way it should be done with an All-Pro Series cigar. All right, Big is out. We'll say hello to Denny Thompson coming up next right here on XL Primetime.
Now, the quarterback whisperer, Denny Thompson.
Okay, bring it in.
1:34, it's XL Primetime with our man who may or may not acknowledge his name, the quarterback whisperer.
I like that. That's a solid,
it's a great
solid
name.
I
don't acknowledge it at all.
Hey, let's call you Guru. How about that?
No, I don't know.
Hey, listen, you are who you are. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not whispering to anybody.
You could be referred to as Denny the Pita, Denny the Paz. Denny the Dumas, but you're the whisperer, okay? And you definitely have to go with that. By the way, we should introduce you as a Saints fan.
Yes.
Because the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures quite heated as far as whether or not.
I literally want a dropkick Hacker now.
Please don't do that. People are missing my point. I understand New Orleans needed a place to play.
Everybody knows your point.
No, I don't need the Saints name on the field. That's all I'm saying.
So it's all about you.
Yeah.
It's not about the Saints.
It's not about the community. It's not about making them feel at home. The
Hacker says,
people.
I don't need the Saints logo on the field.
It's all about Duval till we die, right?
I understand that, but like the New Orleans people, when they come to this game and they're in the stadium and they see the name on the field, it gives them a little comfort.
Yeah, Mike at St. Augustine.
Smell Maxwell House coffee, knowing they're 500 miles from their homeland.
Designed by Lifetime Enclosures. It's very cool and generous to make the Saints feel at home. One day we might need the same hospitality.
Yes,
exactly.
Someone get him some tissues.
Yes.
And, you know, there's plenty of reaction as far as, you know, most of it is like, hey, welcome them in. That's really the name of the game here. And it is, after all, Denny, the Saints game. It's the NFL.
Yes. And it's not like they just chose to, hey, let's play. they can't play. They don't have power. Like, I don't even want to get into this, Hacker. Like,
all right, so.
Yeah, I told you at the break, you need therapy.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the thing that you broke last night Into the Night with Rick Ballew. Carson Beck, expect to see him under center starting for the UGA Bulldogs.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. It's an opportunity, right? It's. I'm curious if JT was hurt last week, though, because he didn't push the ball up the field at all. And if you watched when he tried, it wasn't like last year. The one thing you could say about JT is the ball looked beautiful coming out of his hands.
Now, there was rumblings about him getting hurt in a scrimmage prior to the season opener, right?
Right.
So it's just an upper body. It's all they're saying is upper body.
Yeah. I don't mean this specifically about Georgia. I mean this about college coaches in general. They lie for a living.
Right.
So I who knows? Who knows what it is? Who knows what's going on at practice? All that kind of stuff. But he didn't look good at all. I thought Georgia could have and should have won that game. I was there, and I thought they should have won that game by 21-24. Mm. He had some opportunities down the field that his level quarterback you should take, right? And he had time where DJ just was – I mean, Georgia's defense is ridiculous. This is not even fair. It's that defensive line, I don't know if I've ever seen a defensive line that big.
DJ looked JV.
And fast.
Now, look, you and I have already done this on Gator Bites earlier today, which you can go to 1010XL.com.
It's a good thing we did it earlier because I wouldn't do it with you right now.
Well, that's unfortunate. But I'm basically going to ask you the same exact question now that I asked you a few hours ago on Gator Bites. You trained Anthony Richardson for 4 years. You know Anthony Richardson very, very well. You've also trained Emory Jones. You've worked with both of them. Is there, in your opinion, or should there be, if there isn't, a quarterback controversy in Gainesville?
I mean, there should be. Yeah, there should be. But I think if you feel like you are a top five program, and I think if you ask Dan Mullen privately, publicly, whatever, he would say, I feel like we are, then your goal should be to beat Alabama, not to keep it close, not to play it safe. You should do everything you can to beat Alabama. You're not beating Alabama with Emory Jones. You're not. You probably aren't beating Alabama with Anthony Richardson, but you have a chance because your dude at times is going to be better than their alley guy or their corner. He can run around him. He can run over him. He can run through him, whatever. But you're not going to sit back there and throw the ball 40 times with either one of them beat Alabama. You're going to have something different than what everybody else has to be competitive in that game. For that reason, I think there absolutely should be a quarterback controversy, and I think they should be very intentional with how they play the position this week at USF.
See, here's my thing about that. I understand what you're saying about the run game with Anthony, but it's not going to take long before Alabama adjusts to that, and then that's going to go away. So my thing is he's got to prove, not saying he can't, I'm just saying he's got to prove that he can be a guy who can play fake, throw the ball, and throw it accurately, and throw it on time.
He absolutely can, but let me ask you this. When Cam was at Auburn, everybody knew what he was going to do. They couldn't stop it.
He was a really good thrower, Danny. Yeah. Really good thrower.
Yeah, really good.
He had
really good.
If you want to talk about seasons.
But Denny is right.
No. They line up at the line of scrimmage, I'm not talking about like mechanics or
what I'm
like
saying,
what you look
what
for.
What
I mean,
saying, Matt,
in that
this,
game, he was a
this,
really good thrower.
We see
that
this
season.
Every week in college football, though. We see, especially college football, we see one team who has a dominant player beat another team whose player isn't quite as dominant. And all I'm saying is if you're going to run the same offense with or without Anthony or Emory, like then do it with the guy who that when you run zone read or you run quarterback power, which we all know he loves to run, Dan Mullen loves to run, do it with the guy that can house it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You don't think Emory can house it?
Have we seen him?
No, but I mean he can run.
I mean, honestly, have you – and I love Emory. And I think this is unfortunate for Emory because I think Emory's a good player. And I may be wrong on this. I can't think of a time where I've seen Emory and all the snaps he's taken at Florida break a long run and house it.
What do you consider
take
long? Like 50, 60 yards. Yeah.
What Anthony Richardson did last week.
Take it to
like
the
right.
end zone.
Right, nothing like
I can't think of a time that I've seen that. So, I mean, it's and I do. I think, and I don't want to sound like an Emory hater because I'm the furthest thing from that. I think he's a really good player. I just think Anthony is a, like, generational type of talent. Now, I'm not saying he's a generational player because we haven't seen that yet. But talent-wise, He's as good as I've ever seen.
By the way, Cam Newton in 2010, 2,589 passing yards, 10.5 yards per attempt. I was a little surprised by that. 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 1,409 rushing yards.
It's crazy.
He also carried it into the end zone 20 times.
Best single season of any player in maybe 40 years.
But you know, you know why his average was so high on it per attempt? They had to pull the safety down.
Yeah, right.
Like that's the thing, and that's kind of what I'm saying.
Right.
That's kind of what I'm saying is like if you line up and Anthony's your guy, like you know the look you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
They have to play safety down man. They don't have a choice.
Then he's got to be able to throw it accurately. Then
yeah,
he's got to be able to throw a deep ball.
Yeah, yeah, and I think he can.
I mentioned this earlier, and Denny Thompson here with us. You get him every Thursday here on XL Primetime, the quarterback whisperer, Denny Thompson. All right, so I love it, man. I love calling.
Hang on, 6 points.
Yeah, 6 points.
So
I'm not very good at promotion, Matt.
It's your brand, man.
Anthony Richardson, Emory Jones. You're going to see both of them on Saturday. We had Jeff Scott on earlier, the South Florida coach. We fully expect to see both Gator quarterbacks in that game against South Florida. How do you feel or how do you expect Dan Mullen will handle reps between those two on Saturday?
I don't know what he's going to do. I told you this earlier. I would like to see old school Steve Spurrier every other series.
Ooh.
That's what I would love to see. You're not going to get equal reps because you don't have equal reps in a series. But put them in the same conditions. Put them against the same people. Put them in similar score, whatever you got to do. And people are going to say, well, they're going to get out of rhythm. It's USF, okay? It's you're going to be fine. Like for the long-term benefit of your team, find out. Let's just find out. And if Anthony's not the guy, then he's a package guy. But put him in situations where he's going to have, a 3rd and 8 and he's got to throw and everybody knows it. Let's just find out.
All right, well, let me be devil's advocate here. Doesn't he find out every day in practice?
Well.
Like it's a much better defense that he's going to face the first two games of the season?
So Frank and I were having this conversation the other day. I was on Hacker off air. Were they not trying to tell us this? Like, yeah. All we heard out of Gainesville during practice was Anthony Richardson.
And
Anthony Richardson.
My spies, and we talked about this.
Yeah.
And he came out, and he goes, how come nobody's asking about Anthony Richardson?
Right. So I think they've been trying on some level so that none of us were surprised about this to say, hey, Anthony's developed, and he's the real deal. I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting. I think it's definitely an interesting take. And what makes it interesting is Alabama next week.
Yeah.
If they had Georgia's schedule – where they don't play anybody for 4 or 5 more weeks, then they could kind of toy around with this, but they got to make a decision next week.
Yes, they do. This is of the utmost importance. All right, so let me ask you this, just as a guy who does coach quarterbacks, Emory Jones, he goes out there, he's successful, then he has a couple of mistakes, he has to come out of the game, Anthony Richardson goes in, he starts to hang, his body starts to hang a little bit. How do you counsel or handle that as a guy coaching quarterbacks saying, look, bro, you're still in this. Don't give up. Don't give up that easy.
I think the Emory, that's an interesting one because what you tell people is that life is all about opportunities and what you do with it. Well, he's waited for his opportunity. Yeah. And really, he's done everything that you would expect him to do with the opportunity when he was put in before. You know what life is also about is sometimes there's somebody that comes around that's just better than you.
Yeah.
And – they were built 6'5", 240, and can run a 4.4. And as gifted as you were built, it's just different,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, unfortunately, maybe you got to wait for another opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality of it. And in today's day and age, when people talk about competition and people talk about not being able to transfer, all these haters about the transfer rule, you got to understand, like, situations like this happen. We talk about coaching changes all the time. Situations happen where the next year – the coaches did their job. They found your replacement. And this dude, you see it in practice. This dude's the real deal. What are you going to do? You're going to sit there or you're going to go somewhere and play at 90% of the other schools?
Right.
So I think there's all those things that they've got to factor in as well.
We've done all college football with you. In the time we have left, Trevor Lawrence does make his debut in the National Football League on Sunday in Houston. Expectations for a rookie quarterback, first start on the road against a division rival. You would think it's tough. I mean, Houston obviously has had a terrible offseason, to put it mildly, but what do you think about Trevor on Sunday?
My expectations are he has a huge game. All you can do is go by his past, and every single time the first starts, he's crushed it. High school, college, this is probably the easiest game on their schedule, right, to start the season. He's got weapons. So if I go on his history, then My expectation is he crushes it.
You did predict this 4 years ago on Twitter. Yeah. You said the Jaguars will take Trevor Lawrence in the 2021 draft, and I think that was back in 2017. So Sunday at 1 o'clock should be a very interesting experience for you because you were Nostradamus 4 years ago.
Well, it will be. I'll probably be starting my tailgates for the Saints home game.
With the logo on the field. Yes.
You're damn right.
All right, so listen. I said this earlier. I want to see your response to this. Okay. Short of Emory getting hurt or throwing four picks, he's starting against Alabama.
You telling me that?
I'm asking you. That's my statement. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think so. I have been consistent on this. I think what's going to happen, and I think it's already happening, is there's a play card for Emory, there's a play card for Anthony, and you go to Alabama, and which one is the biggest play card, and which one do we feel like we can compete, and that's who gets the majority of the reps. If by start you mean, like, take the very first snap,
right?
Maybe. But, I mean, if you feel you're paid almost $7 million a year, if you feel that Anthony gives you the better chance, then that's, I mean, you're not doing your job if you don't play him.
Yeah, I've already said it. He plays more snaps. He plays more snaps against Alabama
ask of a dude that's never been in that type of situation, man.
But here's the thing. I was having
the closest Emory's been is the Auburn game when he went in when Travis got hurt.
He played really well against LSU at LSU. If you remember when they were playing there and LSU was number one in the country, Emory actually played really well.
When he came in, right.
And I thought Dan Mullen, like, that was the best play calling game I've ever seen at any level. But I just think it's going to be hard. Like, it's going to be hard to see your offense struggle if you're Dan Mullen and standing right next to you is 6'5", 240, showstopper. Like, you're going to have to make that decision at some point.
All right, dude, always good stuff. At 6 points, Denny Thompson, anything else we need to let them in on?
No, man, just loving life.
If you're a quarterback.
I'm not whispering to any of you.
Enjoy Sunday.
I will. Yeah. I will. I can't wait.
Yeah, have fun, man. All right, that's Denny Thompson. We're going to say hello to the Frangie Show, which comes up an hour early today.
Now, the two-minute drill, brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping 1010XL talking with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
Frangie Show on the road. Frank joins us now. Showtime is where you guys are at. What's up, Frank?
Man, it's always showtime around here, Joey boy. What a great setup this thing. There is more. There's a whole Trevor Lawrence collection here.
Yeah.
There is more Jaguar stuff here. There's more collectibles. I don't care what team it is you root for. It's everywhere here. I'm telling you, this store is big and clean. This is a great setup. I'm telling you. If you're a collector and you haven't been in here, shame on you.
Do they have Saints and Packers stuff there?
I'm looking at Packer stuff right across from me.
Right.
Hang on. You know they do.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to give you specific. I don't think it matters what team, honestly, Joe. It doesn't matter.
We were just trying to make sure that it wasn't a county ordinance in Duval that you couldn't have Saints because we got into the argument about whether or not whether or not Saints paint should be on the
Welcome the Saints to Jacksonville. It's a great thing the city's doing. I just don't know if I need the Saints logo written on the field. That's my only point in the whole situation.
I don't think you do.
There's Saints stuff all over that field right now, and I just don't like that, Frank.
Yeah, I like that you don't like. They should have it there because they're letting them be the home team. But I like Feisty Hacker. Hacker, did you? And again, I was hazy today. Did you talk baseball smack on Twitter? Did that happen today?
So when Hunter Renfroe throws out Joey Wendle at third last night, all of a sudden Red Sox Nation thinks they won the World Series. It's the best win ever. You know, they're going to make the playoffs. They're 10 games back in the loss column to Tampa Bay, and you would have thought they won the World Series last night. Yeah, I was pretty fired up about that.
That was tremendous. Hacker was talking baseball smack to Red Sox Nation. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
That needs no analysis. That was fantastic.
It was Hacker a heck of a throw by Hunter Renfroe to get Joey Wendle, though. I will say that.
It was honestly Clemente-like. It was one of the few throws I've ever seen that you could really compare to Clemente. And I was watching live at the time. It's one of the few throws I've ever seen, Hacker, that was – it wasn't Clemente, but it was Clemente-like. And you never see those, so no, I thought it was.
Was it Dave Parker like in the All-Star game? That kind
it
of
was.
Throw?
It, you know what? Dave Parker in the All-Star game was Clemente like. That's probably the most Clemente like throw I've ever seen. You got to go see it now, Matty. I mean, it was because the center fielder ran right by the ball and he went he picked it up at the warning track and threw the guy out of third on one hop.
More impressive than anything else. Great throw for a wide receiver. Just a great throw.
Very good point. Yeah, so hey, boys, people got to come by here. This place is so fantastic. We love being here. We're going to talk all about it. There's football tonight, boys. I am so excited about it. I am jacked up. It's football for real. I don't know what it is, and we talked about this a bunch, but it just seems like because we waited so long for real – even though last year we had it, there were no fans. There were cardboard cutouts. Do you hope you never see another cardboard cutout the rest of your life, you know? So we'll talk all about that. Josh Scobie will be in here to do an autograph signing 5 to 7. Greg McGarrity from the Gator Bowl stops by in studio, and all kind of collectibles here, and we're going to start in just a bit.
All right, sounds good, Frank. Thanks, man. We appreciate
it. Okay, boys.
Have fun. The Frangie Show will go from 2 until 4. Then Jaguars programming picks up after that with the Urban Meyer Show. We made our picks. It's all in. It's official.
Who do you like tonight? Tampa Bay, an 8.5-point favorite at home against Dallas.
There's a lot of me that likes that 8.5. A lot of me that likes the 8.5.
I think it's a woodshed game. Yeah. I think Tampa Bay destroys
them. Well, I was going to say, it's climbing, and that should tell you to go to the Tampa Bay side. It really should, because you haven't seen a whole hell of a lot about from Dak, and I want to say it opened somewhere around 6 anyway.
Let me give you a quick gambling stat on this game. So on the Thursday night first game of the season, Super Bowl champions, defending champions, are 11-4 against the spread.
Oh, yeah.
Against
write
the
that
spread.
One down.
Wow.
Yeah. It's something else. It really is. And
I
if you think
like
about
that line. It's weird.
It's big.
Especially with the hook. It's weird.
Yeah. But it jumped up there a little bit.
Like that
we'll
FSU Notre Dame game, that line. I didn't like that one either. And I was right about that one.
And did you guys see the over-under total? A 14-leg parlay. JJ can appreciate this. A 14-leg parlay, $10 to win. Okay, and this was last Saturday, and these were all under bets, okay? All under. This was no point spread.
Right.
Under on just a bunch of college football games. 14 legs, $10 to win. You know what he won? $79,935 by picking unders on every single game.
79 grand, that'll get the job done.
And overs is the one everybody picks overs.
Because everyone was expecting. What happened last year was all these points were scored. This dude picked the Fresno State game, the UCF game, the NC State game, and just, boom, hit every one of them with an under. So I'm sure there'll be people looking at some of those bets later on. All right, we all have Tampa Bay Bucks winning tonight. Enjoy
I do. It. I got Tampa Bay, and I'm taking the 8.5, and I feel very, very good about it.
You're laying 8.5.
Yeah, I think they're going to win two touchdowns plus.
I think Bucks
plus.
Are going to win, but I think I'm going to take the Cowboys in the
You do like that 8.5.
Now, my question is, do I play O.J. Howard tonight?
Mm-hmm. I feel like that guy's going to come back and be pretty good.
Yeah, but it's the first game back from Achilles.
I know.
And I hate playing people on Thursday night.
His Achilles was at the end of September, correct?
Yeah.
Is that right? So he basically was only there for a month of the season and was gone.
It's been a long time.
What's behind playing people on Thursday night?
Because if they suck, then you know you got like 0 points, and you have to think about that Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
But yet if they're good?
Then that sucks too.
Why?
Because if you didn't play them and they're good, then you think about that for
but
the next 3 days.
But if you did play them,
you notice what he did?
Good.
You notice what he did? He took both bad possibilities.
Right, he made them both negative. He literally made them both negative. What if
it's
he plays well and you played him?
Then that's exciting, and I get pumped up about it.
All right, we're out. Thanks to Preferred Roofing, Preferred Builders. Appreciate both of them. They're local. You need a roof, you need a job, remodel, addition, brand new home. Check out Preferred Builders. Frangie Show coming up next.